Hey everyone, this is Stefan from ProjectLifeMastery.com and welcome to the Online Business Mastery Accelerator. I'm so excited to have you guys join me here today. We are live right now. We got Mimi here, we got Rashid here, we've got 2,000 books here as well. We got people joining in from all over. I want to thank you guys so much for joining in live today. And on today's session, I'm going to teach you guys something pretty awesome. I'm going to teach and share with you guys, if I were to start over tomorrow, start over my entire online business empire, what would I do? Here's the 10 things that I would do to build and grow my business to $1 million a year. And I created this subject today that I want to share with you because there's a lot of people out there that ask me, what would you do if you started over again, again tomorrow? What would you do differently? Knowing what you know now, after being at this journey now for 5 years building Project Life Mastery and over 9 years of doing online business and internet marketing, what would you do to accelerate that process to get to where you are today and beyond? And so I really broke down the 10 steps, the 10 things that I would do to build my business if I were to start over tomorrow. These are things that you guys could take, integrate into your own business. You guys could probably get there a lot faster than it took me, knowing what I'm going to share with you guys today. So we're going to dive into that today. And then also, you guys can't see this, but I have my laptop here right in front of me where I can see the chat. I can see you guys. I can see all your comments. I can engage with you guys. And I want to make sure that I answer the questions that you guys have also. So if you guys are live right now, submit the questions that you have right here in the chat. I'm going to make sure that I get to all the questions that you guys have, answer them for you at the best of my ability, because I really want to make sure that you guys are crystal clear. You have total clarity, total certainty to grow your business and implement what it is that I'm sharing with you guys today. Okay, so as I'm speaking, as I'm teaching, I want you guys to throw in your comments and your questions here and participate, because the more that you put into this, the more that you're going to get out of it. Okay, now with that being said, if I were to start over, this is what I would do. All right. Grab the marker here. So, number one, the first thing that I would do if I were to start over again tomorrow, and really the most important thing that everybody needs to do to build their business, you've probably already done it, is to choose a niche. Choose a niche. Now, it blows me away how many people still have not done this. They have not selected a niche, a market, a topic, a genre for them to build their business around. And every business that exists revolves around a niche, some sort of topic or genre or market that you can build your business in. And that's regardless if you're doing publishing on Kindle, or if you are doing physical products on Amazon, or if you are blogging and, you know, doing affiliate marketing or information products, whatever that is, you have to decide on a niche, a core niche. Because I think oftentimes what a lot of people do is they start a business in multiple niches. They start publishing on Amazon and they publish 10 books in 10 different niches. And obviously it's going to be very challenging for you to grow and scale that if you're diluting your focus in that way. So choose one core niche, one primary niche or market that you want to build your business in. And ideally, make sure that it revolves around a passion or interest, okay, passion/interest. If you can build your business around something that you have a passion for, you're going to have a huge advantage, because to build any business in any niche, you're going to have to do the research, you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to become the authority, the expert, really understand the market and that demographic. And so if you're in 10 different niches, that's going to overwhelm you. Again, it's going to dilute your focus. If you build it around one core niche that you have a passion for, then you're probably automatically going to do the research and learning and already understand the market and demographic. You can share your stories, your experiences. There's a lot more that you can do based on the other 9 steps that I'm going to share with you. Now, if you don't have a passion, then at least start with something that you're interested in. Oftentimes people say, well, Stefan, I don't have a passion. I don't know what my passion is. Well, at least starting with an interest, whether that's a hobby that you might have, whether that's if you're interested in fitness and you have goals in that area, then maybe that could be an interest. Or if you have an interest in yoga or in cooking or in gardening or in animals and dog training or sports, whatever an interest is, start with that because that can turn into a passion. And even though you're a little bit uncertain about it, it's better to start with that than to do nothing whatsoever, okay? So pick a niche. Start going through this process with that. You know, the worst that could happen is you start building your business and maybe you decide that that's not the right niche for you. Well, all is not lost in that case because what you learned and the experience that you've gained, you can then take that with you into the next niche, the next market that you want to build your business in. You know, for me, I started off my internet marketing business career in the dating niche because that was a topic that I had a passion for. I was interested in dating. I wanted to improve that area of my life. I wanted to improve my confidence, my social skills, and I wanted to help other people with that. And so I started a business around that niche, and I did that for a few years. And you know what happened? After a few years, I realized that wasn't really my passion. And my passion grew into more self-development. And so I abandoned that business, got out of it, and then all the things that I learned in that process I've taken with me into Project Life Mastery, which is the niche, the business that I'm in today. Okay, so just getting started with something, that's the core thing. Having a passion, interest for it, that will motivate you long-term. If you're just in a niche to make money from it, once you make money, then your motivation will disappear and it's going to feel like a chore for you. So I do recommend picking a niche that you have a passion or interest for. Next thing is, of course, there has to be a high demand. And by the way, I apologize for my writing if you can't read it. It often gets a little bit messy when I write up on these flip charts. But it's got to be high demand, meaning there has to be people that are interested in that niche. And ideally also something that's a little bit more broad is something that I would recommend. You can go either more niche and narrow with it or more broad, but I think broad can be better because there's more potential, there's more room for growth. You can expand into many different areas. If you just focus on a very narrow niche, let's say just dog training, border collies, you're gonna limit yourself as opposed to something more broad, which is just more general dog training. You can expand to different breeds and be able to grow more than that than just training dogs. It could also be providing dog food and dog toys and other things that can help support dog owners. Okay, so a little bit more of a broad niche, very important. And of course, there has to be what I call potential for profitability. Okay, you have to be able to profit from it. There has to be ways you can make money that if you were to build up this niche into a successful business and brand and you had a lot of followers and traffic, how would you profit from it? Would you profit from it through affiliate marketing or for your own information products or books on Amazon or physical products? How would you really profit from it? You got to make sure that you have a strategy, ideally multiple ways that you can profit from the niche that you're in. Okay, step one, that's what I would do. And if I were to do it all over again, I would have started in self-development with Project Life Mastery. I would not do anything differently there. Project Life Mastery, that is where I would have started. Okay, number two. So the second thing that I do is once I've decided on my niche is I would start with, I'm gonna write it down first to give you guys some suspense. Okay, I'm gonna write it down, so hang with me. Okay, step two is I would publish at least two books on Amazon. Two books on Amazon that are in this core niche. Now, the reason why I do that is I would assume if I was starting all over again, I'd be like most people where you have a full-time job. You got a 9-to-5, your time might be somewhat limited. You only have the evenings, the weekends, the mornings to be able to really work on and grow your business. You're in a situation where you need some cash flow, right, to be able to provide some income, passive income that can allow you to quit your job or to use some money to reinvest back into your business. And so I would start after that with publishing on Amazon because publishing can be a more of an immediate way to make money online. Now, not to say that there's a get rich quick that you can just, you know, press a button and make all this money. That's not what I'm saying. That's not how it works. But by publishing on Amazon, you can leverage Amazon, which is the number one retailer in the world, and reach a lot of their customers. You can rank your book on their search engine, and you can start making some money relatively easy from that. A lot of the people that are inside my Key Money Mastery course, most on average, start making their first sales within about a 30 to 60 day period, which is relatively fast online. Whereas most businesses, you know, you're not going to make money right away for it from it. If you're doing physical products, it can take you months before you even launch your product on Amazon and be able to make a profit from that. If you're doing blogging or YouTube, it can take weeks or months to even just get traffic, to get traffic before you're even ready to monetize that either. And that's typically how a business works. A business is something that takes from you a lot initially before it gives to you. It's almost like I compare it to having a baby. When you have a baby, it's always taking from you initially. It requires a lot of your attention, time and focus, love and care. And then eventually that baby grows and it can be more mobile, it can talk, it can move, and it doesn't depend on you as much and can start to actually give back to you. That's how you have to view a business. You always have to give something first before you can receive back from it. It's not like an immediate thing. So I would publish at least two books. Now, I would recommend to write the books if you can. You could outsource them. You could hire ghostwriters if you choose. I've done that. Nothing wrong with that. But writing will give you an advantage because learning how to write is a really important skill in your business. Learning how to create content is the most valuable skill that you can utilize and spend your time doing. So it'll help you there. You could also use a name that is relevant to your brand and your niche. Okay, it's also something that you can improve and make better and better. It's going to force you to really understand and learn your market and research it, which also is very beneficial as well. And it's going to be consistent with the other content that you're going to also publish in the niche also. Okay, it's going to help you build your brand if you publish those books relevant to the niche and the brand that you're in. Okay, the books need to be in the niche. So if it's in the self-development niche, then the books you're going to publish are also going to be relevant to that. If you're publishing in the health niche, then your books are going to be related to that. If you're building your business in the finance niche, the books are going to be relevant to that, okay? Again, you want to focus on building a core niche. So these books are going to be relevant to that core niche. You don't want to have books in all these different random niches that, again, that's going to dilute your focus. It's not going to help you build your core business. Now, I also said to publish at least two books, but it could be more than that, okay? Now, you don't need to have a lot of books to make money online. I think a lot of people have the perception, they see someone like myself or other people out there that have a lot of books, and that's not really even that necessary. You can make a lot of money just from one or two, three, four, even five books. And depending on the size of the niche, some niches might only be able to support, you know, five books, others can maybe support 10 or 20 books. It depends on the niche that you're in, okay, the potential of that. So I would start with at least two books and really focus on making as much money as I can from those two books before I try to scale and publish more and more books, okay? You know, to give you guys some numbers, I did some planning here in advance. I'm going to write some things down for you. So first you'd want to publish on Kindle. And you sell, let's say, the book that you have, if you have two books, but one you would sell at $2.99, let's say, which means you would make about $2 per sale. Okay, that's the royalty that they'll give you if you sell your book at $2.99. I think it's around $2.08. Now, if you sold every single month the Kindle book that you had, you sold 100 copies of that, that'd be $200 a month. Okay, 200 bucks a month from one Kindle book. Now, selling 100 copies is not that hard. If there's a demand for it, and of course you market your book, you promote it, you build it up, you get reviews for it. That's the other benefit too, is that when you have, you know, two books, it's a lot easier to put all your marketing efforts into those two books as opposed to having 50 books where you've got to get reviews and build all those books up and manage them and funnel a lot into that. So having one book that maybe you start off and you make it better and better, you improve it, and you get to that point, 100 sales a month, $200 a month, that is definitely, definitely very achievable. I know a lot of people that make a ton more than that from it. Now, if you were to take that out a year, okay, 200 bucks a month, that is $2,400 per year, okay? $2,400 a year just from one book on Kindle, okay? But you would not want to stop there. Next thing that I would do is I would take that book and also turn it into a paperback book using CreateSpace, okay? Now, CreateSpace basically is a platform with Amazon where you can turn your Kindle book into a paperback book. If you were to sell that book there for, let's say, $12, you can charge more money with paperback, which is one of the benefits of it. Kindle, you're kind of a little bit stuck selling it around $2.99, but paperback, you can charge more. You can charge $10, $20, even $30 for a paperback book. But turning that book into a paperback, selling it on CreateSpace as a book, then $12, let's say you earn around $5 per sale, that's the profit of it. Now, the profit is going to depend, of course, on the length of the book, whether it's black and white, color, different factors like that too. But on average, a $12 book, you'll earn about $5 per sale. If you were to sell 100 copies of that every single month, then that would be $500 a month. Okay, pretty cool. So that one book, you can now increase the overall value of it. You didn't have to create new content or anything. You're basically publishing it as a paperback. And again, if the market's big enough and you promote and market it, you could definitely do $500 a month from that. Okay. Now, for an entire year, that's about $6,000 a year. And I'm writing out the math here for you guys because I know it will help you. Just kind of look at the numbers because we're going to build it up to $1 million. And I'm going to share with you guys how. Next, I would not end there. I think a lot of people, they don't complete this process before moving on to publish more and more books. You'd also want to turn that book into an audiobook using ACX, which is Amazon's audiobook platform. Now, if you had it, let's say, you had your audiobook for $5 and you earn $2, let's say, per sale. Now, ACX is a little bit different. They price the audiobook you have based on the length of it. So if it's around an hour or less of an audiobook, they'll charge about $7 or less. But on average, let's say around it can be more than $2 per sale. Plus, they also have a bounty program, which means that if someone's brand new that signs up for Audible and they get your book first, they'll give you a $50 bounty, which is really cool. But again, if similar process, 100 per month, again, would be $200 a month, which is $2,400 a year. Okay, so one book, guys, can make you $1,000 a month, over $1,000 a month. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. This is actually still somewhat conservative because I know people are making $5,000 a month from one book just through this process. Now, you might make less on Kindle and you might make more on CreateSpace. You might make more as an audiobook. I know some people, they're making $5,000 a month of their book just on CreateSpace. Okay? And of course, you got to build up the book. You got to market it. Let's not forget that. Okay? It's not as easy. You just put it up. If I build it, then it will come. You have to put in the work to market your books, make it better, and improve it. Okay? So just this process here alone, so $4,800, that's $10,800 a year. Potentially from one book. Now, if you had two, that could be $20,000 a year. I know people are making $20,000 a month publishing. Okay? I gave a seminar the other day, a speech, and one guy came up to me from Germany and said he's making $40,000 a month based on what I teach inside my Kindle publishing course. And he focuses, by the way, just on the German market. He's not even focused international and globally. So that's the potential of it. That's what I would do because this right here can provide enough to help you be able to quit your job or provide a side income. And of course, you could scale it up to five books, but this is something that I would definitely do that would help you build your business, get to that point, and build everything else that I'm sharing with you guys, okay? And essentially, by the way, this is what I did. This is what I did. I did publishing. I grew it to a point where I was making, you know, over $8,000, $9,000, almost $10,000 a month just with Kindle at the time. And I did that. And then I chose a niche and built the rest of Project Life Mastery. But what I'm doing differently that I do this time is, instead of publishing a bunch of books in a bunch of random niches, which is what I did when I first started, just experimenting and everything, I would have picked one core niche and focused everything around that. Focus all my publishing efforts around that. Okay? And I wouldn't just do this. I would expand. I would go into the other steps I'm going to share with you guys next. And by the way, for those that are live right now, again, put your questions in as they come up. Things that you need help with, I'm going to make sure that I answer them at the end once I finish sharing this with you guys. I'm going to try to roll through this a little bit faster for you. Third step. Is to create a brand. Create a brand. Okay. The mistake that I was doing before is I was just focused on selling books and not actually building a brand in the niche that I was in. So building a brand. When I started Project Life Mastery, that is a brand. That's when I finally got it. Okay, I need to build something more than just having a bunch of books on Amazon. I got to use my books to build something bigger, build something that can last long term. Because, you know, books and products can always come and go because other products come in, competition comes in, the market changes, Amazon changes. So ultimately, you got to use this to build a brand. So in terms of building a brand, I won't go too much into it, but you got to make sure it's a good name that is attractive and compelling. Because all a brand really is a name that a mass amount of people recognize and associate an emotion to. Okay, build a brand. You know, this would also be your domain name, owning the .com. .com. You know, you'd eventually want to trademark this. Make sure you're not violating anyone else's trademark. Okay? So you'd build it in the niche that you're in. Step number four is to create my online presence. Okay? Your online presence essentially is getting your brand out there in the niche that you're in. So this would be, you know, your blog. It'd be your YouTube channel. It'd be your Facebook page. It would be your Twitter. It'd be your Instagram. Okay. So basically building the presence out there. And again, I know a lot of people, again, I bring that up because they're doing publishing, but they're not building the brand. They're not creating a presence outside of that that they can then use to build their books and use their books to be able to build, okay? Your brand allows you to sell products underneath that and charge more for the products and build the trust, the relationship with people, and then vice versa. The content, the books you publish are going to help you build your brand and help you establish more of what you're doing here as well, okay? Now, step number five is I would create and publish content at least three times a week. Three times a week. That's what I would do starting over. Now, you have to be an authority online. The word authority, if you take the word authority and break it down, is the word author. Author is something that we all need to be. We need to author our own content, to create our own content in some way. That's what makes you into an authority. So creating and publishing content three times a week is essential. For me personally, that would be videos, articles, and a podcast. Again, exactly what I'm doing now. I didn't start the podcast a little bit later, but I started out with videos and articles. But I would have done three times a week. That is something different that I would have done if I were to start over. Now, content is king. Most of the internet is made up of content. You guys already know this. I would be able to build my brand a lot faster if I published a lot more content. When I started off doing a blog post and a video once every 2 weeks, and then eventually every week. And then when I realized how powerful this was and how much it works, then I started doing a few times a week. So for me, 3 times a week would be the minimum of what I do. Now, I know that can be hard if you got a job. You know, and again, I'm assuming that if I were to start all over again, I'd also have a job doing different things too. But knowing what I know, I would have found the way. I think that if you're resourceful, you make the time. You find the way to actually make it happen. And so I would have spent one day out of the week, maybe on a Saturday or Sunday, and recorded 3 videos for that week, or record 6 videos or 10 videos that I could then release over the next month. Okay, that's what I would have done. Spent a few hours doing that and then just drip them out, release them on my YouTube channel, on my blog over a period of time. Okay, that's what I would have done. Now, another thing about this too is you want to think about your content, how it can solve people's problems in the niche that you're in. So whatever niche that you're building your business around, you want to identify all the problems in the niche, all the challenges that they have, all the things that they want and want to learn more about, their goals and desires. The content you create is basically solving their problems. So, you know, if you're in the health niche or the fitness niche, then you would create, you'd identify all the problems, weight loss and motivation and workout programs and nutrition and belly fat and all the different challenges they have. And then you'd create content around each of those. So I do a video on how to lose fat. I do a video on how to lose belly fat. I'd create a video on how to stick with your workout program. And just, again, tons of content and videos that would address the core challenges of this niche, okay? Put them out there. You're going to attract a lot of people to you. In fact, if I were to do it all over again, I would have put out a ton of videos in the first 90 days, you know, maybe like at least 60 videos within a 90-day period, and just kind of throw out a bunch of content, because I know that I'd have certain videos or certain articles that are just going to blow up. They're just going to really grow and attract a lot of people to me and benefit me long term. Give you guys an idea, I have certain videos or articles from 5 years ago that are still getting the majority of the traffic and the followers that I have today. Give you guys an idea, my most popular videos are from 2012. My most popular articles and blog posts are from 2012. And so sometimes you publish something that doesn't really blow up or rank in Google or rank in YouTube to maybe several years later. So you got to understand that the more you put into it, the more it's going to benefit you long term. Knowing what I know now, I would have invested and doubled down on the content creation process, putting out a ton more, which would have helped me grow to where I am a lot faster. Now, another thing too, this content you can use to promote your books. Okay, so if you do a video or if you do a blog post, at the end of that, you could reference. If you want to learn more, then check out this book on Amazon that goes deeper into this problem or into this topic. You can promote that in the content, in the blog post, in the videos, in your podcast, and that's going to help you sell more books and achieve these milestones and these goals as well. Okay, now, number 6. Is to create an email list, okay? Create an email list. So I would identify, again, the core problems, challenges that people have in this niche. I would create an email list by creating some sort of report, ebook, video that I could give away that has high perceived value that I could share in my content, in my Kindle books, my Amazon books, to funnel in to build a list of subscribers and followers. Email is the best way to communicate with people, to market, to share more content, build that long-term relationship. So building a list is crucial. You don't really need to build a list until you have traffic to funnel into it, okay? If you don't have people buying your books yet, then setting up an email list is not going to do anything, because if you can't get people to consume your books, then they're not going to subscribe to your list. You got to start with this first. Same thing with your content. You got to keep publishing content until you attract people, and then that makes sense to really build your email list from that, okay? Now, your email list, you're going to funnel people, again, from your books into your list. So in your books on Amazon, I would have links to this free report or video that I'm giving away to put in their name and email address to get it. At the end of my videos on YouTube, the end of my podcast, the end of my articles, I would mention, hey, if you want to learn more about how to lose weight, then check out this free report that I put together that has 21 ways that you can lose weight fast. So I would funnel them into that where they would come here and they would subscribe and they'd be on my email list. Okay? Very important. Next, is I would do affiliate marketing as the next way to monetize that. So I'm already making money here with publishing. This is more the immediate short-term money that I'm going to make, and it can still definitely make me a lot of money long-term too. I'm not saying that it can't. But now I'm building a list. Now I can make more money, increase the overall value of that from affiliate marketing. So with affiliate marketing, what I would do is in some of the content that I'm creating, I might review certain products that are relevant to my niche and have an affiliate link in there to promote that product. So when people check out that product and they check out my review and they buy it through that, then I'm going to earn a commission from it. And also in the email list, I would use that to promote products as an affiliate, because with affiliate marketing, you can learn a lot bigger commissions. You can earn a lot more money than you will from your books. So to give you an example of that, let's say that I found a good product to promote as an affiliate that's about $100, okay, $100 product. Maybe it's a $100 home fitness workout, weight loss program. If that was a $100 product and the affiliate program gave me a 50% commission, then that would be $50 per sale. Okay. Now, if I did 100 sales of that a month promoting that product, that would be $5,000 per year. That's $60,000 a year. Okay. And that's not hard either. If you're putting out a lot of content and you're attracting a lot of people, you're building your list, you got your book selling, you're funneling that into your list, that is an achievable thing. I make more than $60,000 a year from a lot of affiliate products that I promote. I used to promote the Vitamix blender. I used to promote the Fitbit wireless pedometer. And I used to make a killing, a couple thousand dollars a month, just by promoting those products. The Vitamix blender would pay me a $75 commission per sale just from a review that I did on that, on YouTube, on my blog, and then also promoting that in my email list. So you can make a lot of money from affiliate marketing, but these numbers that I'm giving, it might be more than one product, okay? It could be some products you're promoting on Amazon. And you're maybe making $1,000 a month just from Amazon affiliate commissions. It could be information products on ClickBank. It could be multiple products and things that you're promoting as an affiliate to be able to earn this kind of money, okay? And I would do affiliate marketing as a next thing, because that's the most logical thing to do next. You don't have to create the product. You don't have to take the risk. You don't have to spend the money, the time to do that. You don't have to be the expert or the authority. You don't have to know a lot of copywriting and deal with the customers and do the product delivery and customer support. A lot of moving pieces that are involved in creating and selling your own product you don't have to do. And affiliate marketing is a good way to test before you move on to the next thing to do, okay? These things here, what I would do is build these up, and I would likely be in a position where I could quit my job at that point and work on my business full time, okay? So that's what I would do. Let's open up a new one here, move on to step number 8. So the next thing that I would do after that would be to create, I'll write it out. A monthly program, okay? At this point, you've got followers, you've got traffic, you got people that are buying your books, you got people that you're making money from with affiliate marketing. At this point, you can start to create your own information products. And it makes sense to at this point, because you've already validated the market wants something from you, and you have people to actually launch an information product too. a lot of people, they want to create a product, but they have no one to launch it to. And it's expensive to create a product because you're going to need certain tools. You're going to need maybe something like ClickFunnels or Kajabi and things that can cost a couple hundred dollars a month. There's a lot of logistics involved with that in terms of the sales letter and the video. And there's a lot of things that could be involved with that. And so that's why I oftentimes recommend that you wait until you build a list that you can launch your product to. And you could also survey them to find out what they want, learn more about them, so that the product that you create will really be targeted and tailored towards them. Okay. So this monthly program would be a program that you create on a monthly basis, where every single month you do a new training or a new lesson, and you charge a certain amount of money for it month after month after month. Okay, so the great thing about a monthly program is that you don't have to create all the content all at once and launch it and sell it. You're creating the content and the material and the training for it on a monthly basis. And so, you know, all you got to commit to is for the first month, create the first video, the month after that, the video after that, and people will pay you monthly for that. Okay, it's a monthly recurring continuity program. That is very beneficial because you know exactly what you're going to make next month, the month after that, and the month after that. So that's the beautiful thing about it. Depending on the niche, the market that you're in, how you price your program is going to differ. So for example, more in the self-development niche, or let's say the health or fitness niche, maybe it's just charging $29 a month. If let's say that you're in the a niche like business, marketing, finance, real estate, you know, a certain niche like that, oftentimes you can charge a lot more. It might be $97 a month. It might be $200 a month. You can charge a lot more based on that, and also based on how much content you're going to be giving out and what's going to be involved with that. So let's say it was just $29 a month. And if you had 100 people per month in that, then that would be $2,900 a month. Now, if you also had 1,000 people in that, just to give you guys the numbers of that, that'd be $29,000 a month. Pretty awesome, right? And that's not hard to sell. If you have followers, if you have traffic, that's a low price point that you can make available, that if you have, you know, if you have even a 1,000 or a couple thousand people on your list, you can get 100 people signed up for that. Because if they're already benefiting from your free content, there'll always be a certain percentage of people that will be willing to pay for more premium content from you. Okay, going more in depth. Maybe your free content that you're putting out in your blog or YouTube channel or more videos that are 10 minutes long. Okay, they're shorter videos, but inside a member area or a monthly program, you can maybe spend more time going deeper. So for those that want deeper content that goes maybe an hour or 90 minutes, then you charge them for that on a monthly basis. Okay, so they're getting more premium content. Your free stuff is still awesome, but it's not as in-depth as your paid content is. So to give you guys an example, this would be, I think, $34,800 a year. And then if you had 1,000 people a month paying $29 a month, then that would be $348,000 a year. Pretty cool, right? Month after month after month, the consistency of that. Next thing that I would do, step number 9, is I would create an online course, okay? This would be a bit of a higher ticket info product that you could charge maybe $97 for or $297 for. Again, it depends on the niche, the market, but it'd be more of a complete program that is more valuable, has more premium content in it, sequenced and structured in a certain way. And to give you an idea, if you were to charge $97 for this and you had 100 people sign up for that, oops, $9,700 a month. And then per year, how much would that be? That would be $116,400 per year. Okay. definitely very achievable. If you wanted to sell it at a higher price point, let's say 297 times 100, okay, 100 sales a month, that'd be $29,000, $700 every single month, and that would be $356,000 per year, $400 per year, okay? Again, also very achievable for you to do that. And again, it doesn't happen overnight, but the more that you build everything that that you're doing here in terms of the content and building your list, all the things that are here, the more it contributes to those higher numbers, okay? So it might take you a few years. It took me a few years. Knowing what I know now, I could have probably gotten there a lot faster. I think that I could have got to $1 million a year within about, I would say about 2 years, a year and a half to 2 years. I think I could have gotten there if I were to start from scratch tomorrow, basically just doing what I know and what I'm sharing with you guys here. I think I could have gotten it to that point, okay? Didn't have to take me 5 years. It took me 5 years to get to where I'm at today, which last year was about $2 million in a year. Just by doing this, definitely could have got there a lot faster. Okay, next, last one. Is I would do one-on-one coaching. One-on-one coaching. Now, this is something that you could actually do earlier. You know, you could do it, you could funnel into coaching from your content because that's kind of what I did. I was doing affiliate marketing. I was also doing coaching at the same time before I even created my information products because coaching is something you don't have to create a product for. People are basically paying for your time. And so you're going to be able to work with them one-on-one over Skype or something like that. And if you're creating content and you're building your authority, there will be people out there that are going to want to work with you personally. There's always going to be a market, a demand for that. The great thing with one-on-one is that you could charge a higher premium for that, for your time. And it's not ideal because it's not a passive income stream or anything like that. However, it is still great money. And so if you can create a coaching program, it could be group coaching, it could be one-on-one coaching. I don't know what it could be for you, but if you just got, let's say, 15 people a month, each paying you $1,000 a month, because again, with coaching, if you're selling $29 or $297, your coaching is going to be at a much higher premium because they're getting your personal time and attention. So you could typically charge a lot more for that, your personalized time. So $1,000 a month, and again, you could structure that in whatever way. It could be 2 sessions a month. It could be 3 sessions a month every week, or it could be one. Depends on what you want to do. But let's say you had 15 people. That would be $15,000 a month, okay? And then for the entire year, that would be $180,000. I think all my numbers are correct. But that's just as an example. Again, it could be more, it could be less. Don't get too caught up on the numbers. I'm just providing that as an example of what it could look like and how you could build the business and what I would personally do. Okay, I'm not sure if all these exact numbers would be exactly as I have it laid out here. Again, it could be more or less in different areas. Who knows? But these 10 steps is what I would personally do to build $1 million a year business if I were to start all over again tomorrow and start from scratch. Now, if I were to add up everything here, and let's say you have a few books that are selling around this, you know, maybe it's 2 books, maybe it's 5 books, maybe it's 10 books, I don't know, but maybe you're making, if you can make a 6-figure income just from publishing, which is what I did and what I built it up to, and I'd do it again, you know, that could be $10,000 a month, $120,000 a year just from that. From affiliate marketing, I think you could grow that to $100,000 a year as well and have that as a core part of your business. And I've done just one product, certain launches where I've made, you know, more than $100,000 during a product launch. So definitely achievable. It might, again, be broken down into multiple different products. All right, then we've got your monthly program. This is consistent month after month, people paying you for that to be a part of that program. You get 1,000 people, that's $348,000 a year. Your online course, Get 100 people at 297. That's $356,000. You got your online coaching, another $180,000. You know, you give or take, you add in more here or less of the info product, affiliate, whatever it is, that's $1 million a year business that you can then build and create, okay? So that's what I would do, guys. Those are the steps that I would take starting over from scratch. And I think that's a sound model in any niche that works. Any niche this works, having affiliate marketing, publishing, your own products, and your own coaching consulting service, I think that can work in most niches that are out there. So that's the path that I would take, and hopefully you guys enjoyed this, and I want to thank you for your patience. I hope you guys enjoyed and this made sense to you. I'm going to jump back here to the chat, and I want to make sure that I answer your guys' questions, but let's dive back into it. Okay, Rashid says, if you're not good at writing, what do you do? Rashid, my friend, you learn how to write. You practice it. You get better at it. Nobody is good at writing just born out of the womb. You know, everyone had to learn English. Everyone had to learn how to write. Everyone had to learn how to speak. You're no different than every human being on the planet. Now, if you're not good at something, then you learn how to be better at it. You practice it. The way that you get better at it is by doing it, right? By starting a blog and writing three times a week, you will get better at it. It might take you a few months, it might take you a year, but your writing will improve and better at it, because writing is a very important skill to have in business. I don't know many successful people that don't know how to write, that aren't good writers. All the successful people that I know of are very good writers, not unless you're a professional athlete, let's say, you know, like a Floyd Mayweather, who I don't even think can really even read. In that case, no, but if you're going to be successful online, the internet is made up of video and writing and images. That's what the internet is, right? Right now, you are looking at a video, you're looking at writing. In the chat, it's writing articles on Facebook. All it is just writing and videos. You have to learn and develop that as a skill set if you want to succeed. There's been many immigrants, many people that English was their second language that learned how to write, became better at it. I can give you countless examples of that, but in business, you have to be resourceful. You have to find the way to be able to get better at things. I wasn't great at writing. I got a C minus in my English class in high school, but I just practiced it. I got better and better as time went on. I wasn't good in front of the camera. I wasn't a good speaker. I was very shy. I was very introverted. I often share the story about how in high school, when the teacher would call upon me and say, "Stefan, what's the answer to this?" because the teacher would want to try to get people involved, I would get scared. My face would turn bright red. I'd shake. My palms would be sweating. And I would just put my head down and say, I don't know. Just that would always be the answer, instead of me trying to actually pay attention in class and actually be able to provide the answer for the teacher. Or if there was a school project that needed to be done where I had to give a presentation in front of the class, I would actually skip class and take the zero and then actually show up and do it. That's how terrified that I was. So I didn't start out this way. I decided and committed myself that if I want to be successful, I have to become a better speaker. I have to become a better communicator, because that's another common attribute that all successful people have in common, is they're effective communicators. They know how to speak in front of an audience. Maybe you got to go and do public speaking classes and Toastmasters and really develop that if you want to be able to build your business and be more successful with it. And so don't be discouraged by that. Don't be discouraged and say it's too hard. Most people, they say things are hard and they don't know what hard really is. Those are people that need to really get their nails dirty and really learn what hard work is really about. This is actually relatively easy. I think a lot of people live in a culture where you don't know and understand hard work. You know, go out there and do physical labor for 12 hours in a day. That is hard work. Sitting in front of the computer and writing and improving that, or speaking in front of a camera, that's relatively easy compared to other things. And we live in a day and age where there's softwares and tools and resources and coaching and things that make it very easy for you. If you don't know how to do something, you can just go to Google and just type in what you want to find out how to do. And then before you know it, 5 minutes later, you've got the answer to that. Never before did our parents or grandparents have access to such an incredible tool that we now have. And so if you think that things are hard, then I want to challenge you on that and suggest to you that you don't really know what hard is. What I'm sharing with you guys, again, everything that you need to succeed is available online, teaching you, coaching you, walking you through it. And then if you don't know the answers, you can find them. And you're just going to improve, just like with anything in life. The more that you commit to it, the more that you do it, the better that you're going to get. All right. We got Chris here. We got Rashid. We got Mimi. Welcome, everyone. Chris says, hi, all. This is my first webinar. However, we'll not be able to stay much longer. All right. Do we receive a recording? Yes, this recording will be available for you guys afterwards. How can we start the affiliate empire? I have a very in-depth course on that called Affiliate Marketing Mastery. I'd recommend go through that course. It's a 45-hour course with 80-plus videos. It goes very in-depth. I'm improving it every single month. We have hundreds of members that are part of that. That will teach you affiliate marketing. Otherwise, my K-Money Mastery course in the full disclosure members area, there's strategies teaching affiliate marketing there as well. Doesn't go as in-depth as Affiliate Marketing Mastery, but I would definitely go through those courses and those trainings that I put together for you to learn more about it and actually how to do a lot of this process that I have. I wish on these sessions I could go in-depth with it, but again, it'd just be impossible for me to do so because we only have so much time together, and I won't be able to go in the specifics of step-by-step-by-step as opposed to how a course would. Mimi says, what about FBA? Any info on that? FBA is something that I would do affiliate marketing for initially, to be honest with you. It depends on the niche, the market that you're in. So what I would do is promote physical products as an affiliate, which is what I do, because then you don't have to spend the money on inventory. You don't have to deal with a lot of the things. There's a lot of logistics in a physical products business. I would do affiliate marketing for that. Like for me, there's a lot of physical products that I promote, the Vitamix blender, the Fitbit, the 5-minute journal, you know, the treadmill desk, the rebounder, things that are relevant to my niche that I don't have to create. I don't have to sell on Amazon. I don't have to deal with the inventory and the things that are involved with that. And I could just earn a commission from that. That's what I would do. And then if you wanted to create a physical product as a step 11 or somewhere in here as well, you could do that. The reason why I left that out is because information products is always the ultimate because there's not much overhead in that. Physical products business, while it can be a great business, there's a lot of overhead in that. You know, you could be making 40 grand a month, but guess what? Your expenses could be, you know, $20,000, $30,000 a month. And then that $10,000 or $20,000 that you make profit, it's not like you could just take that money off the table. You're going to need that to buy more inventory. So it's a very high overhead business model. I do FBA, but it's not my favorite way of making money by any means. It's something that is just a lot more work, in my opinion, and a very expensive business. Whereas what I'm sharing with you here is very low cost. So for example, this monthly program or your online course or one-on-one coaching, there's very low overhead involved in that because you're giving away information. Basically a monthly program like this, you'll just need something like you can do it on WordPress with OptimizePress and Wishlist Member, which will cost you, you know, WordPress is free. Domain name is about $10 a year. Hosting is $5 to $10 per month. OptimizePress, I think, costs $100 to $200 for a lifetime license. And Wishlist Member, which is an online membership area, I think costs $200 for lifetime access to as well. So very low expenses in that. Everything is just pure profit. Same thing with the online course. Now, there are things like lead pages and ClickFunnels and Kajabi that if you wanted to pay monthly for, you could have as well. But again, not much overhead involved in that. The business that I have and what I've built, I profit a lot in my business. Last year alone, I profited, I think, $1.4 million. But if it's a physical products business, then you're not going to see as much profit from that. So if you were to do that, you could add it in. But that, for me, wouldn't be a primary way of making money in the niche. It could be. My girlfriend, as an example, I'll give you guys her. She sells on Amazon physical products, and she does really well with that. I think she did $40,000 last month from that. And she does affiliate marketing as well. She loves affiliate marketing because everything she makes from it is pure profit. Like, for her, with the physical product, she doesn't profit that much from it. And again, it's always buying more inventory. And also, you need customer support, which is something that she's having to reinvest in as well. But affiliate marketing, she makes a couple thousand a month just from that. You could also make money from your content in terms of like YouTube ads. She makes, I think, $300 to $500 a month just from her YouTube advertisements too. So that's another stream that you can make from it. But she's built around the brand. She doesn't do publishing that much, although she does have some books she does make money from. She's got a email list, I think, of a 15,000 subscribers. And now she's starting on this. Now she's, because she's realizing more and more now how she wants to build a business where it doesn't entirely depend on the inventory of it. And so she's starting doing her own information products and adding that to the business, again, because that's just pure profit. So it can fit into it if you want, but I think it's different a little bit for everyone. Mimi says, how do I source my Kindle book if I want to? Any suggestion on a list of resources that we can start with? So if you want to outsource your book and you need a ghostwriter for that, you can either go to Upwork and post a job there for a ghostwriter to help you with that, and just basically have an outline for them, work with them, and then you pay them to write and create the book for you. So you can just go to Upwork and you can find a lot of freelance writers for that. You can even go to the Warrior Forum, and on the Warrior Forum, you could find different writing companies that exist there as well. There are certain ghostwriting companies that are exclusive to my Key Money Mastery course that we share inside there. Certain ones that we work with, and even certain members that they created their own writing company that are inside there as well. So if you're a member of Key Money Mastery, then you'll find a few additional resources for you also. Heinz says, I highly recommend the Affiliate Marketing Mastery course from Stefan. The value you get is much higher than the price. Thank you so much, my friend. And yes, that is the best program that I've created so far. And it is a kick-ass program, sharing the best of the best of what I do there. So if you're not yet a member of it, I would highly recommend that you are and you join it, because you're going to get a ton of value. My best stuff is really in there, walking you through the steps of it. All right, let's jump to some more questions here. So, hi, Stefan. I thoroughly enjoy your sessions and will continue because they're inspiring and will definitely help to propel me to the next level of what I want to do with my future. As I mentioned in my application, I'm writing a book on my father's encounter with Parkinson's disease, and I would appreciate having your individual coaching, and honestly, I need to have someone to assist me with the continuation of this book. It is of paramount importance that I find a writer, and your assistant is getting the book and the writer going. If this is possible, please inform me as soon as possible. Okay, so sounds like that you've got a book that you want to create. You're helping with your father on Parkinson's, his encounter with it. Okay, great. First of all, what I would say is whatever book that you want to publish or create, you got to make sure, again, there's a demand there for it. There's a market. There's a niche. People that are interested in that. Parkinson's is a niche. It's a market that people want help with, but you got to really learn and understand the market. And especially if you're publishing that on Amazon, you got to look to see how big is the market. Are there people searching for that keyword and then looking at the other books that show up, the other competing books? Are they selling? Amazon can give you the information to see how well a book is selling on their platform. You can look at each book's Amazon bestseller ranking. That will give you a good indicator of how well the book is selling. So you got to make sure there's a demand there for it. A lot of people, they think of this great idea they want to publish a book on, and they go through all the hassle and the work of publishing it only to find out that it's not selling because there's not enough people that are actually searching for that subject on Amazon. So you got to be aware of that. You got to identify and make sure it follows a certain criteria for that. Again, my Key Money Mastery goes a lot deeper into that, which I would recommend. I wish I could teach you that on this video, on this lesson today, but there's not enough time to do so. So that will walk you through the steps of the criteria that I have to make sure of it. But that's number one that I would say. Make sure there's that demand, there's a market there for it. In terms of finding a writer for it, as I suggested, you can find that on Upwork. So if you go to Upwork.com, you can post a job that you're looking for a writer who understands Parkinson's or could do the research on it, or someone that can take a lot of the ideas and things you want to include in the book and they can communicate it, they can write it out for you. You're going to maybe provide an outline for them and just the structure of how you want the book to look, how long you want it to be, the different chapters. You might provide some research for them, some information for them as well. And basically just work with a writer, and you're going to maybe have to interview some people. You're going to have to look at their previous work, make sure they're the right fit for you, provide a deadline for the book that you want done. But you're going to have to work with this ghostwriter over a period of time. It could be a few weeks, it could be a few months, who knows. But you're going to have to work with them to produce the book that you really want. And then, of course, you're going to need to get a cover created for that too. There's inexpensive routes that you could do that by going to websites like Fiverr.com and get a cover for $5, $10, $15, $20 that you could then use. And then, you know, formatting that book for Amazon, that's all you really need to be able to publish it on Amazon as a Kindle book. And then, of course, it's turning it into the paperback book, the audiobook as well. But again, your success is not going to be based on the book itself. The book could be have great content, but if there's not a big enough market or demand or people searching for that book and that topic to want to learn more about Parkinson's and what your book provides, the marketing of it, then you're going to struggle with it. So that's why you want to do the research first before you invest the time and the money of creating this book and launching it. Okay, next, I got a few questions here from Anand. He says, "Hi, Stefan, I'm building my fitness brand through Affiliate Marketing Mastery. I would also like to build my personal brand on the side. Since I'm a marketing professional, I would like to be known as an influencer in the industry. When selecting a brand name and domain, which one should I go with? So A, my own name, B, a marketing business-related brand name, or C, a combination of both." Okay, great question. I would recommend that you do both, that you have a personal brand name and then you also have a company brand name, because if you build a brand name just around yourself, you're going to limit the growth of the business in some way. You want to build an entity that has value outside of yourself, a business that doesn't depend on you, and especially in the industry that you want to get into. So if you just built it around yourself, then what's going to happen is you're going to limit the growth of that because it's going to depend entirely on you. If you build it around a brand name, then what's going to happen is you can have other marketing experts underneath that brand, other influencers. You can grow it, and then you can potentially even sell it if you decided to. A great example of this would be Gary Vaynerchuk. Gary Vaynerchuk has a marketing agency called VaynerMedia, and then he also has his personal brand, which is Gary Vaynerchuk. They both work together, but the brand that he built outside of himself has more value than his own personal brand. He uses his personal brand to build that, but a business is always something that needs to be able to function without you, okay? If it's entirely dependent on you, then it's not really a business. It's not going to be able to scale or really be able to automate, and you won't be able to exit out of it and even sell it as well. So I would recommend build both. That's what I've done. I built Project Life Mastery. That's my brand in self-development. And then I've also built Stefan James. I've also built a brand for Affiliate Marketing Mastery and K-Money Mastery. Those are separate brands outside of my own personal brand. Okay, so that's how I'd recommend that you do it. Build outside of yourself. Build them both simultaneously and use them both to promote and market each other. He says that my concern with using my own name is that my surname is not very easy to pronounce and remember. I could use my first and middle name or a nickname. What do you suggest? Any other tips on personal branding would also be appreciated. Yes, I would recommend that because, Anand, your last name is a little bit challenging to spell, pronounce, and remember. And to give you an idea, I had the same challenge. You know, my surname is Palernos. And that's how I initially built my brand online, by using Stefan Palernos. But then what happened was I was doing these interviews on podcasts and I was putting myself out there. And then most people, they didn't remember my name. They wouldn't know how to pronounce it. They wouldn't know how to spell it. They wouldn't know how to search for it. And so when it comes to a brand name, you want to make sure it's something that people can remember, they can spell, they can search for it. And so if you want to build your brand online, then you got to think about branding in that way. Now, offline, to my friends, my family, everyone else that I know, I'm Stefan Palernos. But online, I'm Stefan James. And that's a very common thing. Most celebrities, to give you an example, they change their name for that reason. Tony Robbins is not his real name. His real name is Anthony Maharovic or something like that. A lot of celebrities that you know and recognize, their names are different than what the name is that you know and recognize of them. So very common if you're going to be a personal brand. Every celebrity, every movie star or singer, they're a personal brand. And having a name that people can recognize, remember, spell, and pronounce is going to make a difference for that. Now, of course, there's always the rare exceptions, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was able to make it work. But again, it can oftentimes be a big disadvantage for most people out there. So I would recommend that if you want to do that online, is just use a pen name, use a nickname, shorten your name, make it longer, whatever you got to do to help build the brand around that. Okay, next is from Heinz. So Heinz has a few questions. He says, how high about the cost for trademarking a brand? Okay, so what are the costs for trademarking a brand? If you're trademarking in the United States, I think the cost is around $300, although I could be mistaken. If you're doing it yourself, okay, if you're doing it yourself, it's $200 to $300 to trademark your brand name. And it typically takes about 6 months for it to be approved and go through the whole process. If you're hiring a lawyer to do it, it could be over $1,000 for them to do it. And in some cases, you might need to hire a lawyer because they're going to have to do the trademark search and really make sure that it's set up the right way. I learned how to trademark myself and save the money of hiring a lawyer to do that. It did take quite a bit of time to learn it, understand it, go through the process. But if you just do a Google search for U.S. trademark, they have a website. You can learn and kind of go through the steps yourself if you'd like. And then oftentimes you're working with a trademark attorney on the other end that if there's a conflict, they'll usually contact you beforehand to help resolve it so that you can actually get it trademarked and approved. So again, it could be as low as maybe $200 to $300 and as high as a couple thousand dollars if you hire a lawyer to do it. How long does it take till the brand is trademarked? Again, typically around 6 months, maybe a little bit shorter or longer. Oftentimes, it goes into a queue and then the trademark attorney takes the case for the trademark that you want to do. It also depends if you're doing a logo mark, a watermark of the actual logo, or just the name. It also depends the purpose that you're trademarking it for, the intent of it. It also depends on if there's any potential conflicts with that too, because that can delay the process. I'll give you guys an example of this. I trademarked the name Key Money Mastery for my Key Money Mastery course. And what happened was, initially there was an issue getting trademarked for that because someone else owned the trademark Money Mastery. And it was a little bit of a conflict, K Money Mastery and Money Mastery, a little bit too similar in different ways. And the K at the beginning wasn't enough to differentiate it. And so what I had to do was I had to work with the trademark attorney to make sure that I owned K Money Mastery, but it wasn't conflicting on this other person's trademark Money Mastery. And so it was more for the purpose of publishing. We had to make that very clear that K Money Mastery is a publishing course and education, teaching fiction, nonfiction, etc. So that delayed the process a little bit more just to make sure that it got done. And then oftentimes your trademark gets published for opposition. So it becomes available online where other people can oppose your trademark within a certain period of time. And then after that, it becomes official and you get something in the mail that confirms that you own the trademark from it. One other thing, I'll give you a tip. When you do this too, if it's your first time doing it, when you file a trademark, what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of letters in the mail from lawyers that are in countries like Czechoslovakia and Russia and Ukraine and these different countries. They're going to send you an invoice to like bill you a couple thousand dollars. And that is a scam, okay? These are things that happen frequently with this because when your trademark, when you apply for it, it becomes public. And so these other companies, they have a system where they try to scam people out of money to pay thousands of dollars, making it seem like it's an official letter from the United States or a lawyer or whatever it is. And you got to be aware of that. Make sure they don't pay thousands of dollars and do a wire transfer or anything like that. But you'll usually get quite a few of those. So just be aware of that when you file a trademark that can be a scam. How can I do it and where? Again, just do a Google search, U.S. trademark. They have the United States Trademark and Patent Office. They have a whole website for it. They have the steps there for it. You can maybe even use something like LegalZoom.com. They have lawyers there you can work with, or you might, you know, depending if you want to know more about it or go deeper with it, make sure you're doing everything properly, then you can find a lawyer in your local area that could help you go through the process. Do I have to do that in my home country or in the country where the address of the brand is? Again, I would talk to a lawyer and do more research on that because I'm not a lawyer. I wish I could give you all this advice, but I just kind of, as someone that just kind of learned how to do some of this stuff on my own, but I don't know all the answers to it, unfortunately. So I would talk to someone who is a professional, a trademark attorney, if you have more additional questions about it, or maybe you can do some research online to help you understand that a lot more, but that's not my area of expertise. That is for trademark attorneys and people that know a lot more about that. What will happen when I own already the website with my brand name and someone trademarks the same brand name before I do it? Well, in that case, then you're violating their trademark. And so you got to be careful with that. If you're building a brand and it starts to have some value, then you want to protect it by trademarking it. Now, if you're just starting out and your brand name doesn't have any value, you don't really need to trademark it because you got nothing to lose. You know, you could easily close it down and start a new one. You know, it's not like you got very far and you built up much value in that. But once you are building it and you do have value, I mean, you're making money from that and it's turning into a legitimate business, you want to protect it by trademarking it. But if someone else trademarks that name and owns that name, then you'd be violating their trademark and they would have the right to tell you to stop using it because they own the rights to that name. So that is something you want to be aware of to protect your brand at a certain point so that you own that. You own that and other people that are violating it, you can close them down and say, hey, I own this name and you can't use that name without my permission. Okay, that's what you want to do. Give you an example of this. Again, I created my K-Money Mastery program. It was originally called Kindle Money Mastery. Okay, that was the name of the course, KindleMoneyMastery.com. What happened was I got an email and a letter in the mail and a phone call maybe a few months in or a year in from Amazon's lawyers. And they said, we want you to stop using the word Kindle in your domain name and your branding because that is the name that they own. And so I had to rebrand Kindle Money Mastery to K Money Mastery, own the trademark for that. So now I'm safe and protected. But I had to rebrand that and change things around, which was a bit of a hassle. Would have been better to do the trademark search first, make sure that I knew this stuff, so I didn't have to go through that process at a later point. All right, a bunch of questions here from Manny. He says, I'm currently making $500 a month by selling my own product, a book summary package, and selling for $69. People view sample videos of some of these summaries on my YouTube channel and are then directed to a sales page to buy the package there. I see a spike in sales every time I put out a new sample video, and then the sales dwindle away. I want to grow the revenue I'm making and making it more predictable. Where should I direct focus my energy, and what would be the fastest path to doubling my monthly income? Here's what I have in terms of assets. I have an email list of 1,900 people who I have never sold anything to. I have 12,000 YouTube subscribers. My podcast gets around 9,000 downloads a month. Should I focus on figuring out how to sell by email and fine-tune my email marketing, fine-tuning my sales page using paid traffic, getting more traffic via partnerships, creating another product, a book summary package, or selling through webinars? All right, well, great questions. Congrats on the success that you're having so far. Okay, so if you're right now your sales are only dependent on a new video being released, then what you got to do instead is you got to funnel people into your email list and create an autoresponder series that over time will continue selling your package, keep selling your product that way. That's the better way of doing it, having all your videos funnel into that, because most people are not going to buy your product the first time they see it. A lot of people, they don't understand this. They say, Stefan, I had a bunch of people come to my website, they didn't buy. They watched my sales video, they didn't buy. That's how it is with everybody. We live in a day and age where people have to see it again and again and again. You got to follow up with them to really get them to buy your product. You know, a lot of people, they might be on their phone, they might come across your website, they might not have time to watch the video, learn about it. So if you build an email list, you can send out an email that says, hey, check out this course. It's going to have more information on this. It's going to go more in depth. I think you'll really benefit from it. Check it out. An email the next day or two that says, hey, I noticed that you didn't check out the page, or I noticed that you haven't bought it yet. Are there any questions that you have? I want to remind you about this and what's included with it, and we have a limited time offer for it. Make sure that you check it out. Then you're going to send another follow-up email a few days later. Hey, I just want to check in with you again. I put together some answers to the most frequently asked questions that people have, and I want to share them with you in today's email. And again, if you want to check it out, then I highly recommend that you do. If you enjoyed my YouTube videos, then you're going to really love this course and this package that I put together for you. Then you might send another email a few days later. It says, hey, I want to follow up again. I've put together an additional bonus for you that can help you even further that I'm throwing in for a limited time when you decide to join my course. So you're consistently following up with them. And when you do that and you keep stacking the deck in their favor, then more people are going to end up buying from you. Okay, that's one thing that I do. That way, the more that you funnel people into that list, you'll get sales not just immediately, but you'll get them over time. You'll get them over the next month, 2 months, and so forth. I would also recommend that you create the continuity program, okay? This is a way that you can make money every single month. So creating maybe it's $67 a month or $29 a month or whatever you decide, but having something every single month of creating content that's more premium and higher quality that people will pay you for. This will allow you to know and see how much you're making, how much you're going to make the next 3 months, the next 6 months, the next year. For me, because I have a lot of continuity in my business, people that pay monthly for premium content or coaching, I know what I'm going to make. I can project the entire year based on how much I'm making every single month from that. So that gives you more security with it. Again, maybe it's at a lower price point than the $67 a month, but or $69 a month that you have there. But you're already creating content on YouTube. You're already creating content. It's just creating more in-depth content that you can charge money for that people will pay you for as well. So I would do that. Also, that could either be an upsell from the $69 product, or it could be a standalone product as well. Or you can maybe restructure your entire $69 product. Instead of giving everyone everything at once, you could drip it out on a monthly or weekly basis. So, you know, maybe you've got a bunch of summaries that you put together there, and maybe you release one a week and for the next year, right? And people pay, instead of $69 for everything, they pay $29 a month, you know, month after month. And maybe you also have an option, they could pay the entire year for $500 or some sort of, you know, cheaper price. So I would do that. That will help solve that problem of more, you know, the consistent income over time. But other than that, man, you're doing great with the email list. Definitely start using your list. Your YouTube, awesome job there too. Keep growing that. Keep building that. Even though sometimes there's the temptation of just pitching your product in your YouTube videos, it is a lot smarter to build the list because that allows you, again, to have the follow-up with them too. So I would recommend creating a lead magnet that you funnel people into to build your list and then share with them your product and go deeper into that. That's something that I'm trying to do a lot more of in my business because sometimes I just funnel right into a product. And sometimes that can be okay, but it is better to get them on a list and have a follow-up sequence for them. That's going to convert a lot better. Other than that, you know, if you have a good funnel too, you could do, you know, you can create an affiliate program for your products. You know, these products here, you can create an affiliate program for, get other people to promote, but it has to make sure that's converting well and it's doing well. So that is a strategy that you could do. And then, you know, you said, should I create another product? Well, if you have people buying the core product that you have, having an upsell could make sense. So maybe it's having a more in-depth product that's $297, right? Something that you can charge a lot more money for. Maybe it's also creating the one-on-one coaching. Because out of the you know, you got 1,900 people on your email list, I'm sure there's one or two or three or four or five or even 10 that will pay you for one-on-one coaching that you can immediately integrate into your business that you can all of a sudden make an extra couple $1,000 a month from. So I would consider that too. And the great thing about coaching that I love is that oftentimes from doing coaching, I create some of my best content because when I have to answer questions from people, like what I'm doing right now or one-on-one with someone and work with them, I learn a lot from that process, and I create some of my best content and things that I share with them that I could then use to maybe include a little bit in this program or other programs, or create an actual course out of, or getting ideas from YouTube videos and free content that I could put out there too. So I think coaching is really valuable in that side of things. It also allows you to get some great testimonials and success stories of people that you've worked with too. So I'm a big fan of doing coaching, even though, again, it can be a little bit time consuming to do it. I will always do it as a part of my business because I get a lot of benefit that helps me with every other part of my business also. Okay, Mimi says, can you please simplify the niche concept for me again? Like, what is it? How do I create or find my own niche? Okay, Mimi, first of all, I would recommend that you go through one of the courses that I have available. Okay, that could be K-Money Mastery or Affiliate Marketing Mastery, because it goes in depth on how to research and decide on a niche and come up with ideas and brainstorm. But really the first step is to brainstorm a bunch of ideas for niches. A niche is just a topic. It's just a genre. If you walk into the bookstore, and you're going to find there's thousands or maybe even millions of books at a bookstore. Well, the way that they categorize the books is based on a category, a niche. You might go to the relationship section of the bookstore and find all the books related to relationships. You might go to the psychology section. You might go to the self-help section, the diet section, the weight loss section, the gardening section, the cooking section, the religion section, the astrology section, the spiritual section. There's many different niches that exist. Okay, that's what a niche is. It's just a category or a topic that you build your business in. You want to brainstorm ideas based on the criteria that I have. So think about first, what are some hobbies that you have, things that you're interested in? You know, maybe it's sports, maybe it's cooking, maybe it's fitness, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's business, maybe it's self-development, maybe it's the law of attraction. Brainstorm everything and then do some research on each of those to find out the demand. You're going to want to do research online to see how big of a market is there that exists for this niche. You might look at the other blogs that exist out there, the free content that's out there, other products that are available. You might look on the affiliate networks and see what products people are selling and which ones are doing well. You might go to Amazon and look to see, you know, type in the niche or the keyword on Amazon, look to see what books are selling and look at the Amazon bestseller ranking. Again, it can be a little bit more of an in-depth process. It's easier to share. Again, I have in-depth training for that I think will help you. But those are the main things, is make sure there's a demand, making sure there's potential for profitability in terms of making sure there's other people making money, find out how they're making money, backwards engineering that process, looking to see what books are selling, looking to see what affiliate programs and products you could promote as an affiliate if you build up this niche that people are interested in. Identifying the keywords that people are searching for in this niche. So every niche has certain phrases and words that people search for that you want to identify that can help you to create content and build your brand around. Even identifying all the problems, all the goals, the desires, the demographic of people that you want to target, the people that are really in that. So, you know, I have a mentor that used to say to me, Stefan, whatever niche that you're in, you got to become an expert at it. You got to understand it. That's what you're going to build your business around. So he would say, go to the bookstore, buy all the books on that subject. Go to the store and buy all the magazines on that subject and just look to see their marketing and look to see understand the content and the market, the demographic, the problems, and really study that, because the more that you research your niche and really master it, the more that everything else is going to be a lot better for you. Okay, so hopefully that can help you just in terms of helping you understand it a little bit more too, but it is more of an in-depth process, the research for it. That goes for any business idea that you have. You got to make sure you do the research and understand the market before you actually create the business and launch it. Next question is, are you finding $1 a month per email subscriber a pretty standard indicator for revenue? And should I be targeting that metric? Honestly, I don't know. It totally depends on the niche that you're in. Some niches you can charge a lot more money for, some less. Every niche the value of a lead is going to be a lot different. Some of them you can get, you know, email subscribers very inexpensively. Others, it might cost a lot more. Totally depends on the niche, the market that you're in. So I don't really pay attention to that as a number. It also even depends on the quality of the lead, whether or not they consumed your content beforehand, if they have a trust and relationship with you, if they're a cold lead, warm or hot. It depends on so many different factors that there's no standard answer that I could give you of what each email subscriber would be worth to you. All right, guys, it looks like those are all the questions that you guys have for me. So I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today. Hopefully you guys received a lot of value, a lot of benefit. I want to encourage you guys, after each session that we do, think about the actions that you can take to help grow your online business. What are things that you can take from today that can help you accelerate mastery? I want you to think about the things that I share here for you guys, you know, choosing the niche, publishing on Amazon, creating the brand, your online presence, publishing content 3 times a week, your email list, the course, the monthly program, the coaching. Think about what I've shared, and hopefully this can give you some clarity, but also I want you to think, based on your personal circumstance and where you are right now, what are 1 or 2 or 3 things that you can commit to over the next month that will radically grow up and scale your business? Okay, what are one or two or three things? And I encourage you to actually write that down. You know, you should have a journal that you have as you're going through these coaching sessions, or as you're learning or reading books or going to seminars, where you write down what you're learning and you also think about how you can make it actionable, how you can apply it. What are the things that you need to do? Because everyone here has got different businesses, different levels of experience. So what you might do might be different than someone else. So think about the 1 or 2, 3 things, write them down. I personally like to use Evernote to organize all my notes and take notes and create plans from. But what are those things for you? And then commit to doing them. And then by the next month, when we get together again, you're going to have a new set of questions, a new set of challenges, new things that you're going to be focusing on. You're going to be at a higher level of your business. And then we can just continue the process of accelerating mastery to help you get to where you want to be. And then also want to encourage you to use the Facebook group. Use the group, use the community that we have. And I look forward to engaging with you guys more there as well. So thank you so much for watching this video. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. The recording will be available for you guys within the next 24 hours. Hopefully you guys have an awesome day, an awesome week, and I'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care.